Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Maybe the reason so many people think it's a bad thing to live for reward is because they've just disconnected the reward from the meaning. If a man gives a woman an engagement ring, nobody thinks that the woman is crass or shallow or greedy for being excited about the ring. Unless all she cares about is the gold or the diamond in the ring and cares nothing about the meaning of it. Then we would say she's shallow. But if she's excited because of what that ring means, that it's not just a little bit of gold and a diamond, it's a token of a man's love for her, then there's nothing shallow at all if she's moved to tears by that. Right? Does God want us to be enamored with his gifts so much that we forget about him? Of course not. But nor does he want us to be indifferent about his gifts. Not at all, any more than the man would want the woman to be indifferent about the engagement ring. He wants it to move her to tears. It makes God happy if we see his gifts for what they are, gestures of his great love, and take great delight in that. That pleases God. He doesn't want us to be indifferent about his gifts. My daughter does something wonderful, and I say, "Oh, I'm so proud of you." And she thinks, "Oh man, I'm glad my dad is proud of me." And then I go to give her a big hug. She doesn't hold me off. Say, no, don't hug me. Don't give me any gesture, token of your love. I'm not greedy. I'm not in this for selfish gain. I'm not trying to get anything out of this. No. The gestures of love are part of the love relationship that should be thoroughly enjoyed by both parties. So let's strive to become more motivated by God's lavish promises of reward. Live your life as though every single time you do anything you're supposed to do, no matter how mundane, that thought or action brings pleasure to a very, very, very wealthy, very, very generous king. Live like that. That's what we claim to believe. And if we live that way, it'll bring glory to God. We owe it to God to live that way, to live as though we serve a God who is a rewarder. If we don't do that, it makes God look bad to the world. I mean, what does it say to the world about God when we go through life constantly depressed, complaining, pessimistic, down in the dumps? What does that say about our God? You know, the day before you take your kids to Disneyland, they're bouncing off the walls with excitement, or grandma's house or whatever. If we had any concept of all of the rewards of heaven, that we would be like that in this life. And what a witness that would be. What a testimony that would be to the goodness of God. And what zeal we would have in serving God. What energy we would have. And when we're cleaning the church or doing whatever our ministry is, calling somebody, writing an email, or whatever it is we do. What zeal we would have. You ever notice in the Olympic sprints, nobody's jogging? Nobody's jogging, nobody's strolling. Why? Because they're motivated by the prize. And the Bible compares that to the way we should live our Christian life. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. The prize that motivates us is way bigger than the prize that's getting them to work so hard. Rewards are supposed to be a motive. Now, these days, that's, you know, very often with the little kids, we don't do that. We want to give everybody a ribbon. We want to give kids a ribbon for coming in 11th in a race of nearly a dozen. But at the higher levels, we don't do that because the whole point of the prize is to serve as a motivation. This is why why coasting isn't consistent with the Christian life. It's not consistent with faith. Whenever we find ourselves just settling into a passionless Christianity where we're not growing, the desire is stale, we're not even really trying to grow, someone in your prayer group asks you what your spiritual needs are, and farthest thing from your mind that you even have any spiritual needs. You just haven't even thought about it. No consciousness of needing to overcome any sin or to grow in any particular area. No real anxiety over any weakness or sin in your life, or anxiety over the loss, no urgency, no passion for advancing the kingdom of God. Your whole Christian life has just become one big dry yawn. You're just out for a leisurely stroll in the middle of the Olympic 100 meter. That, when that happens, that's unbelief. It's just, we're just not motivated by his promises. So have you ever taken a few steps and stumbled? And the enemy is telling you, right now, maybe that's happened in your life just now, and the enemy is saying to you, give up. Give up. You might as well give up. God's hopelessly exasperated with you now. You've done this sin again. Don't believe that lie. Don't fall for that. Get back up and try again. Not because of some oppressive, burdensome religious duty, and not to impress the people around you, but because your Father in heaven is waiting for you to get back up and take another step so that he can grab you in his great arms of love and say, well done, my precious child.
Pick out three of God's gestures of love toward you today. Three things you normally wouldn't give any thought to, and remind yourself of the meaning of those gifts. Like an engagement ring. Do that until you and God are both thoroughly enjoying it. And secondly, is there an area where you've failed so many times that you've given up? Try again, not because you're sure you'll succeed this time, but just to please God.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.